What's everybody? Welcome back to the MMB Performance Podcast. I'm excited. I got my buddy Jeff Lipper on the podcast today. So me and Jeff, we don't know each other very well. So it's going to be fun to chat a little bit more, get to know each other. And I found Jeff on Instagram a little while back because as I got deeper into the OCR community, doing these races and endurance sports, I saw his page and I thought it was cool because, I mean, the man's doing half Ironmans. He's done tough, you know, I think he's 18 plus tough mudders, world toughest mudders. All kinds of endurance sports. So I think it'll be fun to talk with him a little bit today and talk about his journey, how he got into the sport, how he got into endurance. And I think for people that are listening, it'll be a cool way to hopefully have you learn something new and then maybe connect with him and learn a little bit more about the sport. So Jeff, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about running and endurance sports in general. It's definitely a favorite topic of mine, just fitness, fitness junkie since I was younger. So I'm excited to have this talk.
Yeah, me too. It's funny. I don't know if you know much about me, but I grew up in bodybuilding. That was my sport. Competitive bodybuilder. I won my pro card when I was like 26. So I competed in that world, kind of a drug-free athlete. And I had injuries and setbacks, and I looked for something new, and that's what got me into endurance, looking for a new challenge. For you, sure. When did you get into running or endurance sports? How did that start? Was it more like your typical getting into the gym for the first time, lifting weights, and it transitioned? Or did you do more running and that kind of stuff in high school? Or how did that look like for you?
So it's kind of interesting because I grew up playing sports. I played football since I was a little kid. I started football in fourth grade, played football through high school. I played baseball. I wrestled, but I wasn't really into running. I mean, I did like a little bit of track, but I didn't really run. I did pole vaulting for a little bit.
Okay.
And I wasn't a huge fan of running. I was definitely lifting weights throughout high school and early on in college. And my actually first, like ultra was back in 2012. When I was in college, I was working at Menards home improvement store. And there was a guy that I worked with that he was a runner. He was a pretty big runner. And he was like, "Hey, I'm doing this 50K. I was like, "Screw it. Let's do it."
Yeah.
So I was like, I just jumped right in with that. And I didn't give myself enough time to train at all. I think I trained for that race maybe, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months. And then a week before the race, I hurt my knee training, and I took the week off going into the race, like took it real easy, and I was feeling all right on race day, and I ended up hurting my knee at mile 5. So I limped 26 miles to finish the race because I wasn't going to quit. Like, right. I signed up for it and whatever. I was like, I'm not going to quit. It took me 7.5 hours to do the 50K.
So
that was back in
to
2000. I couldn't walk. I literally couldn't walk.
Right,
at all.
I can imagine.
I limped to the finish line and I just laid there for probably like an hour before I got in my car and had to drive home. And I was like, this is the worst feeling ever. Go ahead.
No, I can let you finish. I was going to say, how long did it take for you to regroup and be like, all right, can we do better or what's next?
After that, I kind of told myself, I was like, I don't know if I ever want to do this again.
Yeah.
Just because of how I felt and everything. And I just, it was my first like long, long run ever. And I was like, I don't know. So if you kind of, after that, I took some time off of running in general and just started lifting weights a lot and was really into lifting weights. From like 2012 to like 2017, I did like a couple halves a little bit, some smaller runs. But I didn't do my first obstacle course race until, what was it, 2015? I did a Warrior Dash. So that's what got me into OCR. Like, it was an easy 5K. And I was living out in Omaha, Nebraska at the time. And I did it with my wife and a girl I worked with. And I loved it. I just loved crawling in the mud, doing the obstacles. I was like, man, I feel like a kid. So that got me excited to kind of start looking into that. And I didn't do my first tough mudder. I did a half tough mudder in 2017.
Okay.
It was the, what was it? When they had the tough mudder half. So I think it was 5 miles.
Yeah, it was like a 10,
I did that in,
a little less than a 10K, something like that.
Yeah, I did that in 2017 was my first Tough Mudder experience. And I was like, ooh, this is pretty cool. I was like, I was definitely a fan of Tough Mudder, just the camaraderie and everybody helping each other out on obstacles. I was like, this is pretty awesome. And the next year, I was like, I found out about the, what was it? The toughest. It was the 8-hour toughest in
Sure.
2018. I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And that was the first time I ran, and like, that was the longest I've ever ran, was that 2018 run. And I was like, this is sweet. It was a midnight to 8 a.m. race. So I got 25 miles, and that was my goal to hit, was that 8 hours, 25 miles. And I don't think my wife was there. I think, yeah, it was all by myself. So it was a time when you really didn't have a pit. You just had a table, and it's kind of like the Infinity race. You just had a little partial table overnight from 12 to 8 a.m. And you just, obviously that was your pit with everybody else.
Have you been, so obviously you said you were in sports growing up. Have you been competitive through that entire aspect? So for you, was it more of like a fun thing to try, or like right away, did you turn into this like competitive thing? Cause I know a lot of people get into Tough Mudders cause it is a little, you know, you look at Spartan as maybe the more individualized OCR racing at times. And then you see Tough Mudders a little more of a community, a group, and some of them get that stereotype or vibe a little. So I didn't know if it was like, oh, this would be fun to do, or right away you're like, oh, I want to see how far I can push myself. It was that constant progression in your head.
It's definitely the competitiveness. I mean, when I was playing in sports in high school, I mean, I was real competitive. I mean, I didn't have a lot of playing time because I was a smaller guy. Mm-hmm. And once I started finding out about races and stuff, I was like, yeah, this is kind of my chance to be competitive by myself instead of just on a team. I mean, I love being on a team, but it's definitely different being by yourself and just pushing yourself to your limits. I mean, that's what I've like progressed over the years since I first started, is how hard can I push my body? Where is my limit? Like, I don't know if I have found it yet. And that's what I keep on pushing, trying to push the envelope as much as I can to see if I ever find that limit to how far I can actually go.
Yeah,
and
I
see
think
when everything will break.
Well, that's it, right? Because I completely agree with you. For me, it's always been very competitive, and I'm very obsessive personality. So I can 100% agree with you. A lot of people do it for like a fun run race. I struggle so much. Like if I'm going to do something, it's an obsessive competitiveness to it. And it's not trying to like, I'm not even trying to like, I'm going to beat that person. I want to destroy this person. It's like, what are you capable of? Like, what is that mental and physical limit? Like, where's the, to your point, you're like, what is the potential that you have? Like, what's that limit? And then you kind of, to your point, you're like, oh, I did 25. That was my goal. And then you're like, wait, can I do 30? Can I do 35? Or like, then it gets into these, the longer endurance stuff, which is, for me, was interesting because I did my first half marathon back in 2018. Dude, I got destroyed. I was like the bottom 10% because I was coming out of like weightlifting background, but I got challenged to do it and it destroyed me. And I said the same thing. I'm like, I'm never doing this ever again. This is horrible. My knee hurts. And then it took me a couple years and I'm like, all right, I'm doing my redemption race. I'm coming back for this half marathon and I'm going to break 2 hours, you know, cause I got destroyed on the first one. And I'm like, I did it. And then kind of still never got, like, I never competed in the weightlifting side anymore. So I was like, all right, let's do something that's that balance. And this is why I love Tough Mudder and Spartan. I've done more Spartan than Tough Mudder, but that of like, oh, it's physical and it's endurance. So like, I don't just have to run straight for a million miles. I can break it up. And that like psychologically made me feel more like an athlete, that weightlifting background. So I get it though. Cause it's just like every race that's due is like, how do you beat it? How do you beat it? And like, you think you may capture potential out. And then it's like, you find yourself having more and more. And that's where like, when you get in the world, man, like that's where I did my first one this past year and got 60 and it was like, yeah, that was my first one. And it was,
I didn't realize that was your first.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Awesome.
So I walked into the death zone. Like I was so confident. I was so like blindly confident, like not sure what to expect, but I'm like, okay, I am mentally dialed in. There's no one that can touch me mentally. Like, I don't expect to win, but I didn't expect to be mentally be broken. But this year at like 1:30 in the morning, I hit the wall. Like, that was
okay.
A wall. And that was where, like, I'm sitting down for a few minutes, and that's where the first like real adversity hit. But that was it for me. And I eventually got through it, but that was the point where like my mentally broke and I started to get in my own head. And that was something I didn't expect to happen. So to your point, now going back into this year, it's like I was on point for 10 hours and then the wagon fell off a bit. So I learned a lot about myself of like what my potential is. I was like, oh, I can definitely get to 75, 80. And if I just stay dialed in and just like stay a little more focused, but you learn a lot every race. I'm sure you have too. Like, I don't know with Worlds for you, but you learn so much every year and it's just constant like progression.
Yeah. That's kind of how it was for me, because so after that eight hour toughest, that's when I found out about Worlds. Like I didn't get it. I didn't do it 2018. I'm kind of glad I did it, because that was a year in Atlanta when it froze.
Oh, everyone like died.
So, yeah, like, so I heard about it that year though, and I thought like I just couldn't make it work with work and life and everything to do it 2018. And I was like, I'm for sure doing it 2019. So 2019 was my first year of doing Worlds, and that was in Atlanta, and I had a goal in mind of hit 75 miles. That was my goal going to the race. I wanted that silver bib and everything, and I was contender status, and I went into that race. And I was feeling great for the first 10 hours. And then all of a sudden at midnight, man, it started to get cold.
I was in the same boat.
It started to get cold. That first year, it started to get cold. And I think it was maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, I came back to the pit. My wife, she pits for me, not and my sister. But my sister wasn't there at the time. It was just my wife. And I came back to the pit, and I couldn't stop shaking. Like, I thought my race was over, because, I mean, I was pretty much borderline hypothermia, and I stripped down, and I took like a 4 or 5 hour nap because I was so cold. And after that nap, it was like the sun had come up and everything. And I took my nap at, I think, 50 miles. I took my nap at, and I woke up and I was like, I gotta get back out there. I was like, I'm not going to quit. Let's see how many laps I got left in me. I ended up doing 2 more laps, and I got 60 miles for my first year. I didn't get the 75, but I was okay with that because I got up and finished the race. So, yeah. I mean, that was the biggest thing for me is, I mean, I walked the last 2 laps. I had a full wetsuit on and everything, and I was nice and warm, but I was just proud that I actually got back up and finished. That was the biggest part.
It takes a lot to stand back up, because I went into the wetsuit early this past year, even though I maybe didn't need to, but everyone was just very like, when in doubt, go into it a little earlier than later. And so I got into it early. But my thing is, I did so, because this year everyone was, you know, too many penalty laps, all that, everyone was complaining. I did well with the upper body. It wasn't a penalty lap issue for me. It was just, I stayed moving and I stayed walking, but I didn't run enough. Like, I could have, but also like when your first time going into this, you don't know, like you're trying to teeter empty in the gas tank, how much just walking at a fast pace you can complete a lot of miles, or how much running is going to tax you or beat you up. So it's such a, like you said, when you get into this 12 hour mark past that, you're in new territory. Like, it's such a different world, and it's so differently exhausting than just running. Cause I wanted to tap into that too. Cause you've done 100 milers, what, 3 or 4 times?
Yeah, I've done 300 milers. I got my next one here in just over 6 weeks. I got another 100 milers. So it'll be my 4th 100 mile race.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like for you, what's the biggest difference of doing like a completing 85 at Worlds to running like one of these just straight running 100 milers?
I mean, it's definitely, they're definitely two totally different races, because I mean, after that 85 miles, I mean, that was the most I did last year at Worlds. I mean, technically, I'm going to say this, I did over 100 because I did 17 penalty mile laps.
Damn, dude.
Like,
see,
17 miles of penalties.
Crazy.
Yeah, because I mean, after, I mean, I was just starting to fail some of the grip obstacles, and I looked at my watch at the end of the race and it was 102 miles. I was like, oh my God, I did 17 extra miles. I was like, I hit my 100-mile goal, but only
Yes.
85 counted.
Yeah. That's
But
wild.
it's definitely a lot different. I've done different styles of 100 mile races. So my first 100 mile race was 2021. It was a 24-hour race, but there were 2-mile loops. So you get
Okay.
as many 2-mile loops as you can
Damn.
in the 24 hours. So at the at, it was a trail run too, and at I mean your pit was right before the start finish line, and you could stop as much as you wanted, but you just keep on doing as many 2-mile loops as you can. It definitely was interesting because, I mean, I did that year was my first year doing it. I've done that race twice, and I got 108 miles in under 24 hours.
54
So
laps.
54 laps of a 2-mile course. Yes. It definitely messes with you for
I'm
sure.
sure.
Because I mean it's just so repetitive over and over again. And then the next year that year I got second place overall. The next year I ended up getting first place, but only got 106 miles.
That's
So
still
those are both
super impressive.
trails. Yeah. Like
That's
every 100-mile race I've done has been less than 24 hours. That's been my goal, is when I do a 100-mile race, I want to do it less than 24 hours.
When you've taken these jumps, man, like from, so these 50Ks to doing these 100 milers, how much do you compare? Because obviously you got to be physically conditioned. Like you're not going to be able to, if you can finish these things without being physically conditioned, but you're not going to compete at the level you do. How much do you think is physical preparation? How much of it is like mental preparation for you? Like, are you like, is something like, or you feel like you learn, like you get your mental toughness and that mental preparation through the work? Because I think this is where it's interesting to me. A lot of people get into these and their first thing is they have this self-limited belief of like what's possible. And I had that a little bit too. When you do, you're like, I did 13 miles and I'm exhausted. How am I going to do 50, 60, 70, So like, I'm curious where your head is at, like for you, how much of it's mental to you kind of preparing for these things, or do you feel like you learn the most about yourself and that's what the mental toughness comes from, is doing the physical?
I mean, I think mental's most of it, because I feel like I could eat, like, if I didn't, let me put it this way, if I didn't have the mental toughness, there's no way I could finish the races I have done. The 100-mile races, some of the Tough Mudder races, the Ironmans. Because, I mean, in my training, I never do the full distance. Like for a 50K, I mean, I think my long run was 20 miles. I mean, for this 100-mile race coming up, my longest run is going to be 30 miles. So it's like the getting your mental status right to push past once you start hurting, because you're going to hurt. I mean, the first 30, 40, 50 miles might feel great, but you're just going to start hurting, and you just got to keep your mental side of it going. Because if the mental side of it shuts down, game over. Your race is over. There's no way you're gonna hit that goal or get to the finish line. And like for training wise, I'm doing 70-mile weeks right now, but it's a lot of time on your feet. I think a lot of people don't realize that when they're doing longer races, it's time on your feet is a huge part of it. I mean, you would never do a 100-mile run before a 100-mile race, but if you do cumulative 100 miles throughout the week or weeks, and it's all about the time on your feet, because most people don't spend that much time on their feet, say 17, 24 hours on their feet.
Now, what does your training look like going into a 100 miler? You said a lot of time on your feet. You don't have to be super specific, but are you running, 8 to 10 miles a day, or what is your daily look like usually?
So shout out to my coach DJ Fox. He's been
DJ's
my
the
coach for the
man.
past, yeah, he's been my coach the past year and a half now. This is my second year going in with him, and he gives me all my runs and all my workouts. And right now I'm at 6 days a week running. Usually Monday is but I do cross training too. So we do lifting, we do some legs, and I run Tuesday to Sunday, And it's usually right now with the 70-mile weeks. So it's usually 8 to 10 miles throughout the week, and then the longer runs on the weekend. So like today I had a 20-mile run. Tomorrow's 8, and we'll finish off the week at 70. And next week, that's another 70-mile week. But I think Friday and or Saturday and Sunday next week are 15 and 15. So just spread it out throughout the week. And then on Mondays, it's kind of endurance strength, doing lunges and squats and stuff with a little bit of weight, but not too much. And then also still incorporating pull-ups and grip strength work, just so I don't lose that, since after this race, it's going right into Tough Mudder season. So.
No, it makes sense. Now, was that a gradual buildup for you? Because I think the average person, right, that listens to this, that isn't as competitive as you, is they're like, you're running 6 days a week, 70 miles. Like, was it one of those traditional, like, kind of 10% increase over week, kind of like basic thing? Or do you kind of, what was your like kind of approach over the last year? Because I think that's like interesting to a lot of people, because a lot of people jump into running and they get hurt because they go like balls to the wall, like, you know, like no running experience, jump in, run 6 days a week, shin splints, beat up, wrecked. For you, was it because you had a little bit of a running base obviously before DJ, but was it the biggest thing, frequency for you, just getting more time on your feet and a little less miles per day?
Yeah, because I had a good baseline coming in over the past couple of years, and once I connected with DJ, I mean, it's been a really strategic plan. We started to build up. Usually it was like my lower weeks. If I do a deload week, it's usually 30 to 40 miles, but a normal week right now we're peaking, to get ready for the race, which is 70 miles. I think last year before Worlds we were up to 80 a week. But it was usually around 50, 60, and then gradually increase to 70 and then stay at 70 for a little bit. And then we'll taper the 2 weeks. But I'm really good at, like, I try to keep it consistent with time on my feet and just miles throughout the week, as I'm feeling good. And if I'm having an off day, I might cut it back a little bit, but I'll make up for it usually towards the end of the week if I'm not able to get all the miles, depending on schedule or something.
How much is your nutrition?
Like I said,
go ahead. If you could go ahead.
But the baseline was huge for me. I mean, if you're coming into this and you jump right into a 50, 60 mile week, yeah, you're definitely going to get hurt. So you want to have a good baseline before you increase to that larger number.
I mean, it takes time to get good at anything. And I think that's the hard part. Like I've learned, I interviewed one of the coolest dudes ever from England. I don't know if you saw it, but Scott Jenkins, he was the first British man to finish triple crown of 200. So he did 3 200 okay. milers in 5.5 weeks. And he was the first ever British man, came in fifth overall. We talked and he's such a chill dude, you know, and this is what I love about endurance sports. Everybody is so chill. Like I get on the call with him and he's like, "What's up, mate? How we doing?" You know, I just reached out from him, you know, the random dude, small little podcast, you know, like a little bit of a following, not really. And just reached out across the country and he's like, "Yeah, I'd love to talk about it." I'm like, cause he spoke at a convention. My friend brought him up to me. We talked for about an hour and like just his experience of, you know, running 3 200 milers in 5.5 weeks, like through Big Bear, through all these, you know, and it's just like, it's so fascinating to see like what human potential is. And then you look at the Barkley with the woman that just finished and it's like all this, like,
yeah, that was awesome. Dude, that was so cool to see.
It's crazy. Cause it just continues to show you like, how the whole point is if you're willing to put in the work for not weeks, not months, but years and years and years to get up to this point, like it takes time, but it's always possible. It's also like you have to believe in yourself that it is possible, because there's doubt in your head that it's possible, it's very unlikely it's going to happen.
I've been like saw Barkley over the past few years and I saw the documentary on it and I think it'd be a really cool race to do. The thing I'd be worried if I ever did it is getting lost, because you have to use a map and a compass. Yeah,
dude, I
use a map and a compass.
I can't drive no an hour away without a GPS. Like
yeah,
it's crazy.
That was my biggest downfall, is getting lost in the woods for 20 plus hours and I have no clue where I am.
Yeah. That's what's crazy. Cause I don't think people understand it. Like, oh, it's a marathon. I'm like, no. It's not a marathon. That's the first thing. It's way more than a marathon. And there's 60K of elevation and you're tracking your run and your race. And it's like, and 20 people have finished in 30 something years. It's so,
yeah,
it's fascinating. I felt bad. Cause I just talked to, Chris, from Spartan,
Rogowski. Yeah.
So we just talked the other day and I felt bad cause she was supposed to run that. And, she tore her meniscus and was like out of it basically. So
that's
I felt bad.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Cause like the odds of getting picked are so slim. It's tough. So, but, that's what I was going to say too. What has been so you've had so many experiences, dude. And I think this is interesting. And, cause I have my own view on my own races, but you've done the half Ironmans, these 54 lap, 100 milers, world's toughest. I mean, they all have their own entities, but is there like a race or two that sticks out of like, was one of the coolest, but I would say this, like one of the best community experiences you've had. And then also maybe just like one race that you were challenged the most and you kind of faced adversity and came through it. Cause I think that's always, I'm always intrigued by like, I have a race in my head of like, oh man, that was the hardest race I've done. And I'm the most proud of myself for finishing that. Cause it was so many points that you wanted to quit.
I think my favorite race so far, a huge memory of mine that is definitely a huge impact was the second year I did this was 2000. What was it? 2022. I did the same race, the looped race. And I had a goal in mind from the previous year because I got second in 2021, 2022. I was like, I'm going to win this race. I'm going to win this race. That's all I care about. I'm going to win this race. And I finished the race number one overall. And it was my first ever number one, like winning a race. So like at the end of the race, I had so many emotions. Like I actually started crying, like as I crossed the finish line, because over all the years I've been doing these and running and stuff, like I've never gotten first place. So that feeling of finally accomplishing first place just felt amazing.
It's gotta feel, dude. I can imagine. I've never won an endurance race. The only thing I compare it to is when I trained for 9 years to win a bodybuilding competition and won the show and won my pro card. And I like remember that moment of being on one knee. I'm in like basically like the Tebow position if you're into sports. And I'm just sitting there and kind of broke down because it was like months and months of dieting and just years and years of training, building up to that one moment. And it's all kind of just hits you. It's like, it's not like I made it, but like I accomplished this and it took so many years of building up. And like, I'm looking forward to having that, a version of that in endurance. Cause my experience at Worlds, I'm competitive. I wanted 75. I got 60, but I know I left a lot out there after I got done. And it's one of those like, I'm happy with the goal or the accomplishment, but like not truly deep down that I left it all out there. And I think that's the hardest part for me, knowing that there's so much, like you had a little bit left in the tank. I think that's tough sometimes.
Yeah. That's why I keep coming back to Worlds. And that's why I hooked up with DJ, because the moment I'm looking for, the moment I've been training for the past couple of years is I want that orange jacket. I want that 100-mile orange jacket. That's the moment.
Only a few people.
Exactly. That's what I want. And that's what I've been chasing. Last year, like every year when I first found out about the 100 miles, like I was like, that's what I want. That's what I eventually want to hit. And this past year, I thought I had it in me, and just the cards weren't dealt the right way. Like I just couldn't do it. And I want it bad. That's why I keep on coming back for that, is to have that moment with that orange jacket.
What do you think the biggest adjustments you need to make this upcoming year compared to last year to get to that point? Because you're working with DJ, so you're gonna get more miles in, you're gonna ramp up more volume, you're gonna get faster. Do you think it's more of that? Do you think it's more of the grip stuff, the endurance stuff, like, or is it a mental approach? What do you think the biggest thing for you to take the leap from that 85 to 100? I mean, obviously you did 100 plus with penalties, but like to avoid those penalties, I guess, right?
Right. I think, I mean, miles, definitely bumping up miles this year, getting more miles, but working even more on grip strength, because a few of those obstacles I struggled with over the night, like at night when stuff started getting wet, or just my hands, I was just getting exhausted. Like Funky Monkey, where the monkey bars and the rope, like I slipped off of that thing so many times because it got sopping wet from people. Or, and also one of the first obstacles, I forgot what it was called, but it was a swinging trapeze to the net.
Yeah, dude, I failed that one. I jumped in the water every time and I was like, screw this. Like, yeah, it got so frustrating.
Like the first time I did it, I swung and I caught the net and everything. I was climbing, I was starting to get exhausted, but all of a sudden my foot got caught and like it got twisted. I was hanging there and I was getting nervous. I was like, oh my God, please. I hope I don't get DQ'd by, because I'm having to get rescued over here. Yeah. So I got nervous going into that, like on the net, like every lap after that. And then also, I can't think of what it's called. This might be the wrong name, but I think it was Dingleberries, where it's the cargo net that you had to transverse across.
Yeah.
So that one, I just, man, that was a hard one.
I mean, you have gloves for most of it or no?
No, I usually don't wear gloves just because they always get, I mean, they end up getting wet anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't normally wear gloves, but to practice that, I built a course in my backyard last year.
Good shit.
I'm adding that obstacle to my course this year. Like I already gonna buy, like there's one I'm already spotting on Amazon to buy. It's a 12x8 cargo net that I'm gonna transverse across a million times before the race. And what the I have a feeling that watch say I do all that and it's not even in the it's not
it
even
won't
in the
even be there,
course.
Right?
Right.
Dude,
so
the thing with that obstacle, the one thing I will say is I've always been really strong upper body strength with my background. So but I will say what saved me in that rope you climb upside down and shimmy across, right? Whatever that one. And then the cargo net one. I did well on those, but I made the transition at like 11 p.m. because my hands were just getting raw and I put like a neoprene grippy glove on. So it kept my hands warm. And it honestly, it wasn't even the warmth in the hands. It just didn't, that deep burning rope, horrible sensation of holding onto it. So it took the thought of the grip out,
right.
And that made a difference for me. I don't know. Like I said, I don't like any other race, Spartans, Tough Mudders. I don't use any gloves, but that for some reason, because it also like it, at that point it was like, oh, grip is no longer an issue. It's just, I just don't have to worry about like ripping my hands open. So it was interesting that helped me a ton, to have like this grippy glove with like neoprene glove, but it helped me a ton because it wasn't like slick, but
right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was
I
huge.
Just,
but the stupid
I'm always,
banana, I missed the banana a bunch of times, the stupid banana one.
Oh, yeah. What was it, like hanging tough or hanging
yeah,
rough?
Yeah, I swing, I grab the banana, I'd miss, and I'm swinging back, and then I'm like spinning in a circle, and then I'm like, oh, shoot, and then my grip went. I got lucky, I hit
That obstacle almost ended my race.
Really?
So I was feeling good. I was like, I was on pace for, I knew I wasn't going to hit 100, but I was on pace to get 90 miles. And I come up to that obstacle. I'm on my lap 15 for 75 miles. I jump up onto the platform because of the race platform. And I'm like looking and stuff, looking back and forth because some of them were like kind of wet. So, and then you know how there's multiple platforms and there's a gap in between?
Yep.
So I was on one platform and I was looking up at the obstacles, trying to see which lane I wanted to go through. And I went to go up. I forgot about the gap and I fell in between the two platforms. And for a quick second, I thought I broke my leg.
Like, did you
so
jam it or
I,
just the way you fell?
Yeah. Like I fell in there and I jammed it and it got a big gouge under my knee and literally after, I had to limp through the penalty for that. And like, I started to break down and like freak out. I'm like, my race is over. Like at that point, like I was struggling to even like walk.
Yep.
So I got back to the pit and my sister was there and I was like, hey, how bad is this? Like pour some water on it. Is it wide open? She's like, no, it's good. And DJ was there too. And he gave me some words of encouragement. And I kind of, the last two laps I kind of had to, were pretty slow. I had to like limp through just to finish them. But yeah, that one, that was rough. So I was like,
scary
man,
though.
after that, I'm like, yeah, it was real scary because there was a guy that came up to me. He was like, oh, you need medical and everything. You need your race is over. I was like, no. He's like, yeah, you're done. I was like, no, I'm not done. I was like, I'm not done.
Yeah.
Unless I need like a bunch of stitches or anything, I'm
Right.
not done. Like, I just put my sock up over it and just continued on. But it was definitely painful for those last two laps.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I mean, that's the thing. I rolled the ankle a little once and that scared me. And it was coming off of the stupid banana one because I was like swinging back and forth, swinging, grabbing. And then I swing and I came off like crooked and landed. And then I felt the ankle roll because the ankles are getting weak at a certain point. And then there's that gut, like your heart drops for a split second. And you're like, did I sprain my ankle? And then you walk it out and it came back. Like I was limping a little bit. So it was more like a power hike. But same thing. And then you're like, now that you go from confident to like second guessing, hesitant, like you still want to push, but you're getting nervous now. You're like, oh my gosh, can I do this? And that changes like your whole perspective of the race. So it's tough in that regard.
You get that far into a race, and obviously, you come to a point where your feet aren't coming that far off the ground anymore,
No, tripping over
and
dumb things, like
you start tripping over roots and stuff like that. And
yeah.
over that time, I mean, your feet are already sore as it is, and every little hit with your feet or your toes is going to hurt more and more.
Dude, my toenails were trashed. I don't like, cause this was the first time I've ever done that distance. I'd never done over 30 miles and then we went to 60 and it was just like I had like five black toenails, like just from jamming. The shoes I loosened up a little cause I was getting too tight around the center of the top of the foot. It was like bruising it almost cause I tied it a little too tight. So the feet wouldn't slide and jam, but then I loosened it. Now they were jamming. So I was like, my toes were racked. It was the first time I've experienced that kind of like my toes. My wife's like, because my wife and my good friend, two of my good friend and my uncle came and pitted me and they were super positive. But like, I was like, took my shoes off at the end and they're like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, that they hurt. They hurt. Like they're toast.
What shoes do you wear? You wear VJs or what do you wear?
I wear the ultra. I do an ultra Lone Peak. That's what I was wearing, the zero
Okay.
drop.
Gotcha.
So whether that's the best shoe to wear for it or not, like my friend Kat, who is a endurance, like 50 milers endurance athlete, she loves the Lone Peaks. So I started using those and I've just been using them for the last like year and a half. I've went through the Lone Peak fives. I bought like four of them and then the sixes and the sevens came out, but the new models I don't like as much. Like they're almost built with like less material. Like they're not built as durable. They got a little
Gotcha.
cheaper. What do you use?
My favorite shoe is a VJ as the Max. The
Okay.
VJ Max. Those are
I'll check them
that's
out
my
'cause I
go-to
don't know of
ultra
them.
shoe.
I've heard of them, but I don't know
That's
them
my
well.
go-to. They
VJ
just came out
Max.
with a new model that I want to try. It's the Max 2. I've been doing the Max Originals that I've had no issues with. And I usually go half a size up in my ultra shoes
From
just
swelling.
for because it obviously from swelling, yeah. So I usually wear like a 10, but for those shoes, I go with 10 and a half.
Are they wider shoe? Like they have a wider toe box, or is it more narrow? It's hard to say.
I don't really, it's hard to say because my feet aren't that wide. So
Okay.
I'm not sure. But yeah, that's what I mean. Usually, I think every toughest or every tough mudder I've done in worlds, I've never changed shoes. I kept the same
Nice.
shoes on the whole thing. Never changed shoes or socks.
I
Kept them
think
on the
that's,
whole time.
I didn't on my first, and I think that people get a little too caught up on trying to change stuff because one, it slows down your pit times. So like that's the best advice I got from DJ, from Christian. From Brant, my buddy Brant, like anyone that done these, he's like, man, 5 minutes or less, like in and out. If not, like get because you don't think about it, but 15, 20 laps, like that's an extra hour plus on the back end, where like that's the difference of getting another lap in or not, potentially maybe more.
It eats up a lot of time. Like you don't realize it. I mean, a lot of my pit times this past year were my longest was 7 minutes, but usually I kept them like 1 to 2 minutes. And I mean, those minutes go by quick. Like you
Dude,
don't realize
so fast.
it's already 2 minutes or like my 7 minute one, I was like, my God, I didn't think this was 7 minutes already. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you could spend a lot of time in the pit and not even realize how much time went by.
I know we're getting a little lower on time, but I had a couple qu last questions. Like one of them, I was curious for you with the nutrition side for you. When did you take, like, when did you really start dialing your nutrition in from endurance? Because most people get into it And like for me, it was like I had a background in strength conditioning, but the endurance world is a different ball game. And once you get past like 2, 3, 4, 5 hours and you're starting to do 10, 12, 24, like that's where the science I feel like comes into nutrition, where like you got to be getting stuff in, enough carbohydrates per hour, electrolytes. Like when did you take that leap and did it make a big difference when you started to take it more serious?
Yeah, I'm trying to think when I took the leap of really concentrating on insurance. Like most of my races, I've never had issues like GI issues.
Okay.
I forgot what year that I started using. My main go-to the past few years, well, this last year, I tried Enduralite. I started using that. And
I
then,
know DJ uses that a ton.
Yeah, like I use that. Like usually most races, I usually just carry Gatorade on me. But I tried carrying Enduralite on me, and that definitely helped out a ton. I think that's helped me perform better. But I usually always use Tailwind when I come into the pit and everything. And then I usually have certain snack, make sure I get certain car like enough carbs. And eventually, I mean, I stick to a certain plan for like half the race, and then
shit goes out the window.
Like, start grabbing stuff. Yes.
You're like potato chips, midnight. Pickles, pizza, you know.
Well, my go-to for ultras and everything is I take pickle juice every lap. So that's
makes
helped
sense.
With cramps. Pickle juice has been huge. People are like, oh, you chug pickle juice? I was like, they come up and they have little shot, 2.5 ounce shots. And I take those every lap, and I've never had an issue with cramps. So well, pickle juice is my one go-to.
Well, it's funny with that too. I don't think most people realize, like, I think people get a little too caught up in these like mustard packets and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm not chugging mustard packets. That's just not me. But like in general,
yeah,
like
right.
It's like all you're getting is sodium, right? That's the whole point of the thing. You're just getting like,
yep.
Cause a dill pickle, like a spear is like 250 milligrams, 200 milligrams of sodium. So it's like, if you have three or four pickles, you got a gram of sodium. And it's like, if you're taking in, if it's warmer day, you can be easily going through a gram of sodium an hour. So it's like, to your point, just getting enough of that in makes a big difference. And I think that's what, I didn't cramp a ton, but I did start to at certain points. And the first 5, 6, 7 hours, I was so good. And then you start to get exhausted and not hungry. And I think that's that transition. You got to force it down either way. But yep. Yeah, I think that's the big thing too. To your point, is the pickle juice makes sense. Cause it's like, you get like 1,000, 1,500 milligrams of sodium, and and plus like calorie wise, like to your point in the back half of the race, you're burning 700 to 900 an hour, and you're only taking in probably, you know, 200, 300, 400 at most. So like you're gonna be at a big deficit at some point. So you gotta just eat what you can.
Yeah, it's funny because when I first started training with DJ, and I told him my goals for Worlds and stuff, and basically he told me, he was like, yeah, Worlds is, it's running, but it's also an eating contest. You got to make sure you're eating, and eating a lot.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that was funny, and it's definitely true. I mean, you got to make sure you eat enough, because there's a lot of people that are doing great throughout the race, and if their nutrition's not good, I mean, they'll hit walls and they'll be done. If they don't take in enough carbs or take in enough sodium or anything, like they definitely are not going to perform like they should. It's going to take a toll over the 24 hours.
Well, look at this. I just do quick math. Can you see that number? Is it backwards on your screen?
Nope. 16,800.
So if you burn 700 calories an hour for 24 straight hours, bro, that's 16,800 calories. So if you're not eating, you're done. Like it's game over. Like your output is absurd. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like funny because you start doing numbers like that. And I think it starts putting this perspective, like, why did I hit the wall at 14 hours? Well, I burnt 8,000 calories so far, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So
it is crazy.
So moving forward, man, you got your 100 miler. What does this year look? So you're big. Do you have any other? So you have Tough Mudder season coming up. So you have your 100 miler. And what's the goals in place for you for this upcoming year?
So the schedule looking like right now, got the 100 miler the weekend before, was it Memorial Day? And then got Tough Mudder Infinity Michigan Father's Day weekend, which is June 17th, I think. My goal for that is to get elite status. So I think it's 45 miles.
That's impressive though. That's like harder than Worlds to me to get the, you know what I mean? It's in a weird way, like you got to be flying.
Yeah, I've realized that you have a better chance of getting elite status at Infinity than you do at Toughest.
Definitely.
Toughest is definitely harder, just because overnight and everything. And but got that, and then July, I'm looking at doing a backyard ultra, try to do a PR for mileage. My goal is going to be like 130 miles backyard
Beat.
ultra. And then what is it after July? August, I plan on doing Toughest in Chicago. So we'll see how Infinity of Michigan goes. If I get in elite status, I'll dial it probably back a little bit for Michigan. We'll see how I feel. Or I might just go balls to the wall and try to win it.
How old are you, Jeff?
But I'll be 36 this year. I'm 35 right now.
Okay. I'm 33, so I was just curious. I was just putting in perspective.
Yeah, I just bumped up into a new age group this year.
Yep. You just got to dominate that age group. That's all.
Yeah, which is very tough because there's a lot of tough people in my age group.
Sure.
Like
I feel like
Trevor
in the
Psychos
30s, in the 30s in general, like 30 to 40 is like where all everybody starts to like get into their own of like endurance land.
Yep. And then after that, I don't know. Right now I don't have anything planned for September or October. It's just dialing everything in for Worlds in November.
Yep.
And go for that 100 miles again. But I don't know if you saw my Instagram story yesterday, but there's a race I'm doing April of 2025.
No, I didn't
and
see it.
It's called the Arizona Monster 300. It's
oh.
a 309 mile race point to point in Arizona.
Bro, that's absurd. That's
so
absurd. Like I think like
it's
the Moab 240 is absurd. This is absurd, absurd.
Yeah, it's brought on by the same company, Destination Trail, that does Moab and Bigfoot, and Tahoe. Same company that does that. But yeah, 309 miles point to point.
That's
there
crazy.
is 42 or 43,000 feet of elevation gain and 43,000 feet of elevation loss. You have a time
I love it.
limit
No,
and your cutoff is
though.
170 hours.
I think that's amazing
That's
and horrible at the same time. Like I'm hyped for you, but I'm also like, holy shit, bro.
Yeah, it's gonna be the longest. That'll definitely be hands down the toughest
oh my
race
God.
And longest that I've ever done. I mean,
I've only
like
known
right after Worlds, I'm gonna have to take a break from just to recover for like
your
a
body.
Week or two and then get right back into it.
Bro, that's insanity. I like love it, but that's just insanity because it's just like the amount of because there's not many people have done, 200 milers, and it's like and this again goes to human potential and the limit. Like you're going to 300 miles, right? It's like it's absurd, but it's just a matter of like it's crazy.
Yeah, I think the percentage of like people in general that have done like a marathon is I think less than 1%.
Yeah,
or
I think
around that. And then so if you take into consideration people have done an ultra, cut that number down, and then do a like or 100 mile or 200 mile, 300 mile, I mean that percentage is
zero, zero, zero,
zero.
Zero.
Yeah, there's a bunch of zeros in there for
but
sure.
That's I'm built like you in that regard because I remember when I was 19, I just don't want to live my life as average. Like, I don't have to be the richest man in the world, but like there's different, my version of what average is, and physically is a big, like my number one thing. Like, I don't want to physically be average in any aspect mentally, what I can accomplish. And to your point, I use the same numbers you just brought up as like the less amount of people that do something or the more people that are like, dude, that's crazy, you're going to get hurt, the more incentive I have to do it. Cause I'm like, oh,
yep.
You think it's crazy? Oh, I definitely got to do this just to see what I'm capable of. Like, oh, it's that, like, that's crazy. I'm incentivized by that instead of like discouraged by it.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause there's a lot of people. I mean, out of all my friends I have one friend that she's my training buddy that we do a lot of races together and run a lot. But other than that, most of my friends aren't big runners at all or run very much. And a lot of people ask me like the biggest question is why? And I say, why not? They're like, why do you run so much? Or why do you do all these crazy races? I'm like, why not? Like, it's a challenge. And I want to see how, like, I'm a fan of pushing myself to the limits. Like,
yeah.
I want to see what my body's capable of. Like, I can't just go do a 5K or 10K or a half marathon. Like, man, just I'm going from 0 to 100. Like, after a 100-mile race, like, I'm making the huge jump to 300-mile race.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what's possible.
Dude, I love it. And it's a combination of like your own stuff. You're tapping into all these different aspects of your life, you know, to find like what it takes to get to that level. And then like the why, like I get the why. Most people don't get the why. Most people are out of shape, unhealthy, overweight, sedentary, obese. And the same people that are judging you or giving you shit potentially for doing these races or why you're doing it, that's crazy. Like 99% of the time, most of those people are a little bit jealous and they're not happy with their own situation to an extent if they're hating on you. Like if they're a hater, it's like they're probably a little jealous that you're doing all these things. And I don't think a lot of people realize, as much as the grind sucks and the day in day work sucks at times and you don't want to do it, to your point, the joy and the accomplishment of that moment when you won that race, like that is, there's no other way to get it because there's so much that builds into that moment. Like, it's just, people don't understand. They're like, oh, you finished the race. Great. You won. Oh, cool. Congratulations. But no one ever knows how much like that feeling is until you've done it.
Right. For sure. And for,
so.
And for me too, like just running in general, like it's the mental part of it. Like I use running as a lot of times as therapy, just like to decompress, just like, if I'm having a shit day or just a lot on my mind, if I go for a run, man, I can clear my head. Like running has just definitely helped mentally in a bunch of different aspects.
Dude, I love it, man. I appreciate you coming on, dude, talking. Like I said, it's been good.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Like this is the most we've talked ever. So it's been cool to
for
chat.
Sure.
And
yeah,
I'm excited for
a good
you,
time.
Man. I'm definitely excited to follow your 100, see how that goes. And then I was almost going to do one of the affinities or the toughest to try to get like either a contender status or something. Honestly, this year I started my own business, my coaching business in November. I left the place I was at. So financially, like I want to dump a ton of money into this races this year, but also like, I got to make sure this is stable. And it's just like, I
want
to,
that makes sense.
But worst case, we'll stay in touch and I'll definitely be at Worlds. We'll have to chat and,
for sure, man. Definitely. I'm excited.
Put a few miles in potentially together. So,
there we go. I'm down.
All right, brother. Well, appreciate you coming on, man. I look forward to how things go for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Guys, till next time, keep being a beast. Chase discomfort. I'll see you guys later.